Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 27, and we're doing text 14 and 15. So we can do 14 together. What's that? Okay. 14 together. Is it coming? Okay. Sri Sukhavacha Evam. We can do it together, 14. Sri Sukhavacha Evam Sankirtita Krishna Madhmoha Bhagavan Amum Megha Gambiraya Vacha Prahasam Ida Avravit. Sorry. I just remembered all my problems. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraya Nasta Prayeshu Apadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Unto Naranayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By rendering service unto the pure devotees, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text 14, once again together. Because we always have to start off on the right foot. Anyway, excuse me. Sri Sukhavacha. And we can chant the rest together. Evam Sankirtita Krishna Magnoha Bhagavan Amum Megha Gambiraya Vacha Prahasan Idam Abravit. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, in this manner, Sankirtitai, glorified Krishna, Lord Krishna, Maghona, by Indra, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Amum, to him, Megha, like the clouds, Gambiraya, brave, Vacha, with words, Prahasam, smiling, Idam, the following, Abravit, spoke. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, thus glorified by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled and then spoke to him as follows, in a voice resonant like the clouds. Purport. Although in this pastime Lord Krishna appeared to be a small boy, the word Megha Gambiraya Vacha indicates that he spoke to Indra with the deep resonant voice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oma Gyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So here, just in this one little verse in purport, we get some really nice information about the personality of Godhead. We get a little indication, and our minds can go to wonder, what does the voice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead sound like? Of course, we can't imagine it with our minds, and can't, you know, but we can base it on a philosophical understanding. And here it is, that the Supreme Lord spoke in a voice very deep and resonant like the clouds. sometimes we have the experience, especially here in Florida, where you get lots of thunderstorms. Sometimes that thunder, you can hear it just rumble across, just that one thunder just rumbles across the whole sky. So you can imagine, in the form of a five-year-old boy, you would think that he would just have a small little voice. But because he's all-powerful, even though he has taken on the form of a small little boy, he still retains all his powers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one of them is his deep resonant voice, Hare Krishna. So today's primary verse is text 15. You can repeat after me. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Te Kari Magavan, Maya Te Kari Magavan, Makabango Nugrinata, Makabango Nugrinata, Madamus Madam Anusmritaye Nityam, Mad Anusmritaye Nityam, Matsayendra Shriya Brisham, Matasyendra Shriya Brisham, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Mayate Kari Magavan, Makabango Nugrinata, Madanu Smritaye Nityam, Matasyendra Shriya Brisham. Please chant.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Godhead said, Maya, by me, te, unto you, Akari, has been done, Magavan, my dear Indra, Maka, of your sacrifice, Banga, the stopping, Anugrinata, acting to show mercy to you, Mat Anusmritaye. For the sake of remembrance of me. Nityam, constant. Matasya, of one intoxicated. Indra Shriya, with the opulence of Indra. Vrisham, greatly. So in what's happening here is Lord Indra's offered his prayers of repentance along with Surabhi. And this is the first point, at least in this chapter, where Krishna is acknowledging his presence and his prayers. So this is, Indra has been revealing his mind and expressing his sorrow for acting improperly. And here Krishna now is expressing why he did what he did. So the translation and purport again by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence of the king of, as the King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me." So let's repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as the King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me." Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Indra and Lord Krishna here exchange a heart-to-heart talk. Indra revealed his mind to the Lord, and now Lord Krishna similarly reveals his own intention. In text 11 of this chapter, Indra emphatically declared that Lord Krishna is in fact everything, and thus, according to Indra's own criteria, forgetting Lord Krishna is clearly a state of insanity. When the Supreme Lord reminds us of his supreme existence, he is not proudly advertising himself like a mundane politician or entertainer. The Lord is self-satisfied in his own infinite existence and is trying lovingly to bring us back to our own perfect existence as his eternal associates. From God's point of view, even the mighty King of Heaven, Indra, is a mere child, and a naughty child at that. And thus the Lord, being a caring father, punished his child and brought him back to the sanity of Krishna consciousness. So here in this verse, these two verses and purports, we get even a more intimate description and a more intimate understanding of what actually is taking place between these two personalities, Indra, the repentant soul, and Lord Krishna, although in the form of a young five-year-old child, but actually in his position, Indra offering his respects to the Lord and his repentance to the Lord in his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes when we hear these pastimes, we perhaps might have the tendency to think of it as something happening to other people. Oh, this is some exchange between Indra and the Supreme Lord. But actually, it's actually is something that it reminds us of our position at every moment. Indra, as a representative, let's say, for this example, as the representative of all the conditioned souls, it took the position of acting. How was he acting previous to this, when his sacrifice was interrupted? He was acting totally out of anger, totally out of false prestige, he felt totally insulted that the residents of Vrindavan failed to recognize his great position, and simply on the advice of a mere talkative child, stopped what they were performing and had been performing for years and years. They had performed this as a custom. They had performed this sacrifice for years, in honor of Indra. So he was when he took offense to that, he reacted out of such anger that he lost all intelligence and was trying with all his might and all the powers that he had at hand, and we can imagine how much power and strength the King of Heaven has in his reserve, how much he had, that he was trying to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, all the cows, all the residents, all of Krishna's dear friends, and even if he could, he wanted to kill Krishna. That's how deluded he became, as stated. And so what is that stated here? Forgetting that Krishna is everything. Do you remember how the devotee stated it? One who forgets that Krishna is everything, it's clearly a state of insanity. Insanity. It's insanity. There's total, because it's explained in the Vedas and it's explained by Indra in his previous verses, that Krishna is everything. He's the source. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. He's the source of everything. Srimad Bhagavatam, Madan Mohan, I'm sure you can quote the verse. If you think that there's anything reality outside of you, summarize that verse, the Chatur Shloki. Yes, the Bhagavatam. Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's one of many verses that are just giving us a clear indication that there's nothing outside of Krishna. So if we have our consciousness thinking, or one could say not thinking of Krishna, not in relation to Krishna, or thinking that there's something more important outside of Krishna, clearly a state of insanity. So what is the living entity's state of consciousness? Who is the living entity, the conditioned soul? What are they thinking is the most important? Or who are they thinking is the most important? Me. Not you. No. No, I'm thinking I'm the most important. The only problem is that there's 45, 50 people in the room, and each one of them is perhaps, probably not you folks, sorry. And anyway, in a group, perhaps each one is thinking, I'm the most important. And therefore, when that egocentric attitude clashes with another egocentric attitude who has a different center, there's always strife and chaos. Always strife and chaos. Prabhupada gives a very, very simple example, how if you throw a stone in the river and in the water, the concentric circles emanate from him out. But if you throw many stones in the water, then those concentric circles that are emanating from each stone as it goes in the water, they're clashing. So that's what we have today. And everyone's vying for making their center of existence, which is their self, you know, powerful, opulent, get their own way. In so many ways, they're struggling like that. Some people are have the ability or whatever to make themselves in a more prestigious position and have more influence over others than some other certain person. But all of that actually leads to this whole problem of disrest and uncertainty and disruption in the material world that we have today. So what was explained here in the verse, if you remember, what was Krishna's reason? What did Krishna state? Why did he do this to Indra? Why did he stop his sacrifice? Thank you. Out of mercy. And what was that mercy that he wanted to establish with Indra? What was the mercy? What was the state of consciousness that he wanted Indra to be fixed in? Remembrance. Never forgetting. My mercy is that I'll put you in a position where you'll always remember me. How wonderful. Now, easy to say, right? But when we see it happening in our lives, we have to pray now while we have a tad of remembrance. Pray for the mercy of the Lord, that we'll be able to see His mercy in our lives as we go through our lives making our little plans and endeavors, and perhaps they're not always coming out as smooth as we planned or as easily executed as we planned. In other words, when Krishna smashes us and gives us something unexpected, puts an elephant in our path, puts a mountain of obstacles in our path, smashes us in so many ways, takes away our false prestige, smashes us in front of everyone, or even just in front of a few people, or whatever the circumstance is, however the Lord does it. How is He doing it? Out of His mercy. Because why? We're in a state of insanity. But thankfully, it's only temporary insanity. And why the Lord's causeless mercy, He's always trying to rectify us. He's doing it directly with His devotees. He's directly interacting with His devotees. And for the non-devotees, He's doing it through His agents, material nature. Material nature is always thwarting all the plans of anyone to what? Live a simple, peaceful, happy life here in the material world. Take that one. That's a nice, simple plan. Doesn't hurt anybody, right? Usually. And that's always thwarted. Because why? Because it's not our place. And we hear these things over and over and over again. But still, when we go and experience them and they happen to us, oh, you mean I'm not going to live in this body free from pain? Oh, I thought it was everyone else. Oh, me? Oh, I'm going to get a disease. Oh, me? This just, thought I'd bring that example up. You know, oh, it's going to happen to whatever. You know, Krishna's there, kindly reminding us over and over again, because our tendency is to try to forget. So how do we curb this? How can we curb this tendency of forgetfulness? We can curb it by trying to cultivate real knowledge. Srila Prabhupada explains in various places, but two places that I'm thinking of that I brought references from: Sri Shapanishad, text number 10, Anyat evahor vidyaya anyat ahor avidyaya iti shushumadiranam yenastat vichachakshire. So that's text 10 in Sri Shapanishad, and it's translated as, the wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained by the culture of nescience. So at a glance, one might think, well, that's obvious. There's different results from cultivating different things. But actually, the unfortunate thing is that it's not so obvious in this day and age to most people. But anyway, so what Srila Prabhupada immediately begins to quote from Bhagavad Gita in this purport. And it's really very interesting. He quotes from Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, verses 8 through 12, when it talks about the qualities of knowledge. What's knowledge? Adambiram, something, something. I don't know the Sanskrit, but anyway. But he says them. I really appreciate when by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and somewhere he'll say something in one way, and somewhere he'll say the same thing, but in a slightly different way, in a different angle. And since my understanding is just, my realization is like paper thin, you know, whatever I read, I think, oh yeah, maybe I understand. But when I hear it in a different way, I think, oh yeah, that applies there in a different way. So here, in Mantra 10, Prabhupada talks right off, he lists the 18 qualities of knowledge, okay? He says, as advised in 13th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, one should cultivate knowledge in the following way. One should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respects to others. Isn't that interesting? Oh, sorry. One should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. 3, one should not become a source of anxiety to others by actions of his body, by thoughts of his mind, or by his words. 4, one should learn forbearance, even in the face of provocation from others. 5, one should learn to avoid duplicity in dealing with others. And he goes on to list the rest of the 18 qualities, which I don't mind reading, but I don't want you to lose your attention. I don't want to lose your attention by reading too much. Sorry. So he lists the rest of these 18 qualities, but what he's explaining is, later on in the purport, he says, in the modern setup, even as he's explaining the first one about how to give proper respect to others, so Prabhupada says, in the modern setup, even a boy thinks himself self-sufficient and pays no respect to elderly men. Due to the wrong type of education being imparted in our universities, boys, and that applies to all of us, boys all over the world have caused elderly people headaches. So interesting, isn't it? So sweetly put, but so profound. What he's saying there, now apply it to Indra. So Indra was causing he was thinking, I don't have to give respect to anybody else. I'm the greatest. He's forgetting. At the end of the list of those qualities, Prabhupada quotes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is knowledge. If we cultivate these qualities, then we'll be knowledgeable. Everything else is ignorance. Everything else is ignorance. These are the qualities of knowledge. What? Humility, pridelessness, tolerance, self-control. This is knowledge. So if we cultivate these things and we get the opportunity just in our daily, day-to-day activities to cultivate humility, tolerance, pridelessness, self-control, just to name a few, that's how it's there in Bhagavad Gita. Here. Humility, pridelessness, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the object of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception, this is a quality of knowledge, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, disease, non-attachment to children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, residing in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and a philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I thus declare to be knowledge, and what is contrary to this is ignorance. So succinctly put, how to cultivate knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada defines what's humble. What is humble? What humility means? In this purport, so I can find it. Oh, okay. Thank you, Krishna. So here it is. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Interesting, huh? Sums it all up. Not to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honors from others, but from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge who knows that he's not his body, anything, honor, dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. And here's another very powerful sentence. One should not be hankering after this material deception. Interesting. It's just, sometimes when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, certain things like jump out at you. You know, they're just so simply stated, and again, so profound and so deep. What does he say? It's just a deception. So again, now pertaining to the verse. So here, Lord Krishna is saying to Indra, I stopped your sacrifice because you were intoxicated by the great pride of being the great Indra, the king of heaven. I did this out of my mercy for you because I want to situate you in always remembering me. Because when one is in that deception, in that other state of consciousness, thinking oneself as the center, obviously, if one's thinking oneself as the center, there's not room for another center. We have to step aside. Let Krishna be the center, then there's room. We have to get over this hankering to be honored by others. And and learn to tolerate the difficulties that come in, to us along those lines. Without that humility, without that tolerance, without that pridelessness, without self-control, it's very difficult to make progress in spiritual life. It's the beginning. It's the door. You have to open the door. Go in the door, first things first. Humility, pridelessness, self-control, like that. So those are just a few thoughts, because now if Dipyanga is leaving, I'm going to stop talking. Okay, sorry. Hare Krishna, those are a few thoughts on this very nice verse and purport. Now to hear your realizations, which are very profound. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Since you had me on the spot with, I did leave a little out of it, but at the end of the nutshell verses, the verse right after that, I thought would apply right now what you're saying. You know,
one should do this. You want to investigate this up to this point, or how do you say it?
Well, that's the 36.
But okay.
37 is, O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of the mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial or the final devastation. So since this is all about pride, and the nutshell verses specifically concluded with this right afterwards, he says this is how one can avoid.
Thanks for pointing that out. And one could also say, well, it does appear that Lord Brahma had some difficulty in his life. Or even we could take the example of Indra. Indra is a devotee of the Lord. He's not a non-devotee. He's a very exalted devotee of the Lord. And the Lord is always... Anyway, the Lord is always looking for his welfare, for Brahma's welfare. So now, in our case, even if there's some difficulty on our path, even if we stray or forget or whatever, become more under illusion than we are right now, because of that endeavor to render service to the Lord, Krishna very kindly will always send reminders and try to rectify us. We just have to what? Open our eyes and look. Look to see how the Lord's hand is in our life. The more we see the Lord personally guiding us, the more we'll see it. And the less we try to see that, we think, oh, that problem came because of this person, or that problem came because of that circumstance, or because I did this, or because I lost my job. No, but if we actually see, this is coming by the Lord's mercy. What's the lesson I need to learn? Oh Lord, please help me keep my ears and eyes open so I can hear the lesson and imbibe the lesson that you're very kindly, by putting me in this misery or difficulty or trying circumstance, you're very kindly trying to rectify my deviant mentality. Trivikram Prabhu?
The point you brought up about boys creating disturbances sometimes. Proper etiquette, sometimes it needs to be taught, especially to the young people. I can remember when I was pretty young back in my country, we have to offer respect to other people, or at least greet them nicely and so forth. But it seems it's very much absent, you know, especially in this society, but all over the world, really, you know. But a society like ours need to actually make this, you know, be aware, you know, and even teach it to some degree.
I agree 100%. And how do we teach it? We have to imbibe it ourselves. We can't teach something that we don't have in ourselves. So we can see what is in that Shriya Upanishad verse, in the purport. That's one of the points that Prabhupada's making there, that the modern educational system starts out trying to teach someone what? How to be the center of their universe, more or less. Those are my words, but still. How to be the center of the universe, get what you want, you can achieve this, that, there's nothing can stop you, whatever. And And from there, it just goes, you can hear it all through their music, through their movies, through their games, through everything, it's there. So, yes, we definitely have to teach it to our children and to in our society. But I find I'm the biggest offender. I'm really a very tolerant person until someone provokes me or offends me or neglects me or whatever. And then I think, man, didn't I just say that? You know what I mean? So, I mean, I have to imbibe it myself, but it's a very good point. Thanks, Prabhu. Bhakti Rupa Prabhu?
Lord Chaitanya and Chaitashtakam also uses this term amanina, and he couples it immediately follow with manada. These two, maybe you could speak a bit about how these two fit together, amanina and manada. Not demanding respect, but ready to offer all respect to others.
Thanks. That's very good. Okay, amanina. So how is it that we, if we're thinking that we're the most, if we're self-centered, thinking ourselves the most important, then the least thing happens and we're, you know, put off a little bit. But if we're trying to put Krishna or in the center, then what's our position? To glorify the other devotees who are serving so much. So unless we have that tendency to encourage others and glorify others and glorify, then we'll never get rid of the one in ourselves thinking that we're the most important. But you know what, Prabhu? I'd like to hear from you on that. Because obviously you've thought about it a lot. So if you could please share. No? Madamati? You should follow the instructions of the elderly people. Sorry, Ramiya Prabhu, do you have any thoughts on that? It could be expanded on.
I don't know exactly on that, but it's just like when we hear this pastime of Lord Indra, tendency, at least for me, is to think that, well, he's got some big position, he's the king of heaven, I can see he's all puffed up, but I know, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't get fucked up like that. I don't have that big false ego like he has. But I need to see how that applies to me as a wherever I am.
Srila Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, even a pauper is proud of his penny. You know? The pauper might have, you know, his little tarp over his house or whatever, you know? But you have a sense, this is mine, I did it, who are you? So that tendency is there. If we look deep within ourselves, we'll see that those qualities are there. And perhaps subtle, deeply in there, but, you know. One of the tricks of the minds, one of the tricks of the minds is to think, oh yeah, I'm not, this is me, not you. Oh yeah, I'm not puffed up like that. I'm really humble. Perhaps I'm the most humble person in this room, I think. Yeah, they're not humble like me. I mean, when are they going to notice how humble, you know, or whatever the quality is. It's like trick, constantly trick. Vegavati, and then...
Hare Krishna. So many thoughts, but... One scriptural reference, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the pastime, but it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and someone is blaming, maybe Ramchandra Puri. Anyway, whatever the context, then it's said that in the scriptures, it's said that one should neither praise nor blame other people. However, of the two, it's more important not to criticize. In other words, it's actually sometimes okay to praise. So when what I try to do, and I'm definitely not always successful, is if I notice that I'm starting to criticize, especially other devotees, I try to remember to then say something good about them and appreciate, just to counteract the evil tendencies of the woman.
Jai, thank you. Prangalinda Prabhu?
Maybe we can address the original cause of this self-honor. Otherwise, for me, it is very difficult to reconcile. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, in the commentary on Brahma Samhita, Shiram Jatata Divikara Vishesha Yoga, Sanjayate Napithagasti Hetu, Jasambhutam Abhi Tata Samagreti Karjat Govinda Madhi Purushantanam Bhagavan. In that explanation, when the soul display apathy to the devotional service, to his constitutional function towards Bhagavan, bhakti, then he is allured by the illusory energy. At that time, a separate ego embraces him, which emanates from Lord Shiva, that he will feel he has a legitimate right to enjoy Maya like Shiva. Maya belongs to Shiva. Shiva has 100% right to enjoy. But the Jiva, soul, does not have. So that moment, an ego appears in the heart of that conditioned soul that I can separately, independently, away from God, exist. And that is the root of this false pride, false ego. So then question Raghunath Das Goswami gives in the Manushiksha, I'm translating right now with Mother Urmila, that Raghunath Das Goswami giving the dialogue between the mind and the practitioner, like me or you or everybody. So the mind is, mind and sadhak, their relationship has to be understood. So Baladev Vidyabhusan Thakur says, just like a butter is the soul and milk is the mind. Without process, how to separate the soul from the mind or mental body? Is it possible? No. No other process, karma, jnana, yoga, will be able to separate butter from the milk. It has to be bhakti. So in that process, there has to be cooperation between the... We cannot just get rid of mind. Okay, I don't care my mind. That's not possible. I'm invaded. They're like intertwined. So and in that dialogue, this discussion is given. It's so vast. One of the discussions given that, hey, mind, you may think you are chanting and you gave up lust, greed, anger, madness. All right, I conquered the six. Be very proud. But do you know the biggest wicked wretched that deception, hypocrisy, you did not get rid of it. This is the root of this lust, greed. It will come again. So then how do you get rid of deception and hypocrisy? This is only one way, not two or three. By serving those devotees, like Prabhupada, who has transcendent and no other process. No other process. Therefore, those devotees who are elevated, by their association we can get out of it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I don't want to take too much time, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur did stress this point that bhakti has a three division. One is pure bhakti, one is sangha siddha bhakti, one is sarup siddha, is pure or original, and then there is a arup siddha. Means if I have some intention, motive, to while I'm chanting, then that is not pure. If I'm serving, I'm following my spiritual master, I'm following Prabhupada and Radha Krishna, I want to please them. For their pleasure I'm chanting, then it is pure. But if I have some motive, I want to become advanced, as you said, I'm a humble, I am this, I'm that, then this is not pure. So then at the same time he says, we should follow those qualities, but our goal should not be those qualities. Our goal to please only Prabhupada and Krishna, Mahaprabhu. All those qualities automatically will come. Those will make evidence that I'm advancing. But we should not look for those qualities to individually, separately from pleasing Prabhupada and Krishna.
That reminds me of our beginning verse.
by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. Thank you very kindly. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhakti Rupa Prabhu. Thank you.
At least, what's the very nice thing about being in this particular room? It is always very clear who has the most of everything.
Srimad Bhakti Rupa Prabhu. Thank you. Srimad Bhakti Rupa Prabhu.